This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will crack the code and reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is March the 13th through the 15th in Las Vegas and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details at www.stopwaitingacademy.com. www.stopwaitingacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster, and I am so excited about this week's show because my special guest is a very good friend of mine and a very sharp entrepreneur, Gina Axelson. Let me tell you a little bit about Gina. She is a certified Pilates instructor, studio owner. The PilatesBiz.com was created as a resource for other Pilates instructors, providing Pilates business advice and proven methods for being a success in the Pilates industry. And you can find out more from Gina on her website, which we're going to get in a second, and check out the cool products she created, Profit with Pilates, and also check out the community she's created on Facebook. Hey, Gina, thank you so much for being my very special guest this week. I'm so excited to talk with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim. I'm really honored to be here, and just can't wait. This is a great opportunity, and I'm excited. Thank you.
Sure. You know, we first met, I think, when I spoke in California the first time at Henry Evans Group, which I'm thinking is at least 5 years ago now. And, you know, we've kind of stayed in touch. We ran into each other at a couple, I think, a Dan Kennedy event, at Joe Polish's I Love Marketing event, and a few other places, and, of course, staying in touch online. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm just so impressed with what you've been able to do with your business and how you've transitioned it, and also what appears to be, you know, just living a really balanced lifestyle from your business and your husband, Vince, and your son and all that. So at least outwardly, it looks like you really have it all together.
Well, but I do, you know, in full transparency, I do let people know that my car doesn't get washed as often as I would like. And, of course, there's those things that don't happen. But yeah, it's just great. It's one of the reasons why I love being an entrepreneur, and especially being online, having an online business, is the freedom that you can create with something like that. So, yeah, I definitely am enjoying it compared to 10 years ago when I was building something else, that's for sure. So, but you know, when we first met, Jim, I don't know if you remember, but I was using your newsletter services as the newsletter guru, because that's something that I teach, the importance of having a newsletter. So that was one of the ways that we first connected. So it was great that I got to first meet you. Yeah.
I do remember that back then when you had a studio, you were sending out a monthly newsletter with our services, which was so cool.
Of course.
What I'd like to do today is really catch up a little bit with you and just let everybody listen, learn about what you're up to today, and, you know, again, let my audience hear about your journey getting started. And, you know, as we record this this show, we're really close to my Dream Business Academy in Las Vegas, and in many ways it seems like you've done, you know, exactly a lot of what I'm going to be teaching. So let's just get a little history going first. Share with us when you first started your Pilates business, and when did you kind of really get good at marketing and growing it in a big way?
Sure, that's a great question. I, you know, had a Pilates studio here in San Diego for a long time, and I realized that I needed to go outside of my comfort zone and my own industry to get marketing advice and information. I just, being a great Pilates teacher, of course, is important, but that's not necessarily the best way to attract new clients and retain new clients. So I'm fortunate being in San Diego. There's great resources. You mentioned Henry Evans and the GKIC group. They were invaluable for me when I was, you know, really working to build the studio. But also a lot of online marketers. It seems less of a novelty now, but at the time, having a social media presence, having video on your website, having a blog, those types of things could really impact a brick-and-mortar business, you know, 5 or 6 years ago very quickly, especially when someone's trying to improve their local search, let's say. So those were the types of things that I was learning to build my Pilates studio business, and as a result, people in my community, just fellow Pilates instructors, were coming forward and saying, hey, can you help me? Can you help me do this? Or can I take you out to coffee and pick your brain? And sort of out of that, the short story is the Pilates biz was born because I realized that I really enjoyed helping other business owners and entrepreneurs. And if I could give back to them, then they in turn could turn around and share Pilates with more people. So I got to feel as if I was a part of their growth was impacting people positively. I'm a big fan of Pilates, obviously. And then just experiencing the freedom that an online business brings, it eventually came to be an easy decision for me to not have my studio anymore and to devote my time and energy to the PilatesBiz.com and then my family. So that's sort of where I am right now, and I love it. There's no looking back.
You know, when did you venture into the information marketing side of things?
Gosh, it was early, I would have been around 2010, 2011. And I'll be honest, I had a hard time creating my first product. I tried different mediums and models at first, but talking to myself in a room didn't seem to feel right. You know, I couldn't get too many people on a teleseminar. It didn't feel right. And eventually I just said, I need people. I'm a people person. And I maybe some might say did it the hard way, that I had a 3-day event, got a group of Pilates instructors and studio owners together and recorded that live event. And that eventually became my first product, but it was the right thing for me, because I felt connected to the audience and to my clients in a way that I don't know that I could have replicated as easily just recording something in a room, so to speak. Some people can do that really easily, but I need people. I'm a people person.
You know, when I did my first product, I think it was in 2006, and so it was basically – let me see if I can remember it. It was a 5-part e-course on, you know, how to use a newsletter to grow a business. And I basically got on free conference call, and when I was so stumbling in the dark. So I called them and tried to figure it out because it wouldn't go record. They said, well, there's nobody on your other line, or there's nobody calling. And so I said, okay. And so I went and I dialed my house phone in and just left that in the kitchen, went back to my office.
Oh,
and I talked
great.
Out my first product. So
yes.
Funny.
That's a great thing. It's important for people to remember, you know, you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes we think it has to look a certain way or be a certain way, but you know when you're in the zone and it's working for you. But, yeah, I mean, I gave some people free tickets. I said, could you just please come? Because I knew if there were people there in front of me wanting to learn and asking me questions that I would be able to deliver to them. It wasn't a question of if I knew the information, it was just getting it out for me in a way that worked. But yeah, that's a great story, Jim. Bless your heart.
You know, I talk a lot about the entrepreneurial mindset versus the mindset of a small business owner. And what I usually say, a small business owner always seems to be focused on selling more of whatever they sell, or, you know, so if you're in the Pilates business, you want to put more students in your center or your studio, I guess you probably call it. And if you're, you know, if you sell jewelry, you want to sell more jewelry. But an entrepreneur really has a mindset, okay, I'm going to do this, but then I can also do this. Like when people start, other Pilates instructors started asking you, how do you do this? Can you show me? I mean, that's really the foray into a coaching program and information products. But it's really a mindset that has to be open to that, to say, well, I don't really do that. You know what I mean? When did you start becoming an entrepreneur versus a small business owner? Was it at that time? Or
you know, that's a great question. For me, it was a little bit of a gradual process. My first Pilates studio was so small that it was only really available for me and another student there, the person I was teaching. So it wasn't something that I could scale. And then the second studio that I had, I knew, okay, that was a problem, so I wanted more space. I was able to experience what it was like to have people working for me so I could grow the business in that way. It wasn't until I put my Pilates services available for sale online. So let's say a mom at 9 o'clock at night could realize she has time for the next day, wants to come in for class, she could purchase even though we were closed. That was revolutionary for me to wake up in the morning and say, oh, I sold 10 classes last night while I was sleeping.
Wow.
And so I got kind of the bug then just by opening up my business to an online scheduling system. And then, of course, being a consumer or a customer of online products and realizing I could connect with people on such a larger scale and have a greater impact versus just a local radius. You know, a Pilates studio, if I can bring someone in outside of a 5 or 10 mile radius, that's a really good thing. Usually it's a pretty short distance that people are willing to travel. So I think the bug for me really happened when I started the online selling for my studio services. And then, of course, it was, you know, once it starts, when you get into the information marketing world, as you mentioned, definitely my entrepreneurial hat kicked in big time.
You know, in 2007, I was just pretty much getting into the online world and discovering Dan Kennedy and things like that. And so I met Allie Brown at the first conference, and that's when she was pretty much the easing queen. And she was just, her star was just really starting to rise at that point. And she said, oh, so you're the print newsletter guy, because I do email newsletters. She said, I'd love to interview you for my community. I'm like, okay, cool. And in the pre-interview, like a couple days before, because back then everybody used to do their calls live. Now everybody records them. Mm-hmm. But in the pre-interview, she said, what are you going to promote? What do you want to do? I said, well, the only thing, I have an e-book. I had written an e-book, and I was selling it for $49, which in and of itself, Gina, was a leap for me. So you can buy a real book for $20, but somebody's going to buy a 50-page PDF for $50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was selling them. And she goes, well, that's good, Jim, but I'm only going to let you do that if you sell it for $97. I'm like, gulp, really? She goes, Jim, it's great information, $97, or you're not getting on my program, in a joking way, but I think she meant it. And so I raised the price, doubled the price for this 50-page PDF ebook to $97, and we kept selling. We sold hundreds of them. And it was just such an eye-opener. I mean, it's so fun to look at the journey that we've been on and realize, you know, all the little twists and turns and lessons, you know.
Absolutely. Wow, that's a great story. I bet, you know, someday if you get the chance to connect with her and say, hey, thanks for that nudge. You know, we all need those loving nudges. I find, too, for me that when you really love what you do, sometimes it's very easy to just want to give it away and share it. I mean, I was feeling that when I first started teaching Pilates. I loved it so much, I would teach it for free. But that's just not a business model. So
no.
Having, you know, someone like a Dan Kennedy in your ear or an Allie Brown to say, no way, you know, this is valuable. It's a great resource for your audience. So, yeah, I have thankfully had people along the way as well who have nudged me and supported me with getting more stuff out there and not being shy about raising prices.
One of the big challenges, you know, speaking of pricing, that a lot of entrepreneurs have is they undervalue what they do because it becomes it's so familiar to them. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, for years I've ordered mailing lists for different companies, even back before I had my own business and doing marketing. So I know, you know, I know where to go. I know how to check off the boxes, build the whole profile, get a mailing list. For me, it's like a piece of cake. But some people, and then when I started learning about pricing and the value, and people like, I don't even know where to go. How do you do that? And I'm like, oh, there's value there, you know?
Yep, yep.
The fact that it takes me 10 minutes and is a piece of cake has nothing to do with how important it is that I get the right list for somebody and how valuable it is to them, and that's how you determine your pricing.
That's true. That's a great piece of advice. It reminds me of something that Mike Koenig said to me when I was first starting out. I don't know if you know Mike, co-founder of Traffic Geyser. Okay. Well, he had a big influence on me. And I remember him saying, hey, you know, Gina, in this business, to succeed, you always need to remember quite a bit of it is psychology and not technology. And that's resonated with me so much. Like, we can be our own worst enemies sometimes and hold ourselves back when really we just need to step forward and move forward with it. And like you said, recognize there's a lot of value, even though it comes easy to you or it's a natural gift, it's a natural talent of yours. It has a lot of value to people, and they need your services. I mean, I want it right there. You could really help me out, Jim. I need that help.
Well, hey, you ought to come to my event in Vegas, but, you know.
I've got it written down, March 13th. That's very exciting.
Okay, well, let's talk about that later because I think it'd be awesome. So cool. Well, let me ask you, when did you start working with a coach or in a mastermind? Was that with Mike Koenigs or was that Ed Rush or –
My first experience with it, I didn't even really know what a mastermind was until I read Think and Grow Rich. I mean, it's just kind of a hokey name to me. But my first experience was with Henry Evans, who you mentioned, in the Glaser Kennedy group. And that was wonderful. We would meet monthly and really formed a great bond with everybody supporting each other. And then I wanted to be around people who had been in the business or in the industry longer than I, because, you know, there's that expression, you know, not be the smartest one in the room, and by no means was I the smartest one in the GKIC group, but I wanted to be around people that were already doing what I wanted to do, and so I took the leap, and I joined my Koenig's mastermind group that Henry was a part of that year also. He was facilitating it, and that was wonderful, but I almost maybe was too, you know, not on the same level because people will look at me like, what's taking you so long? You know, they were a real, really comfortable taking action like daily and weekly, where I was maybe much slower because I was still dealing with a lot more of that psychology of like, am I ready? Do I know what I need to know? And so I'm still masterminding with people on occasion. I don't have a formal group right now, but I'm a big fan of that. I think when you can surround yourself with smart people, a group that can support you and you can go to for advice, it really accelerates, I think, the pace that people can achieve results. I'm a big fan of masterminds for sure.
Oh, that was really, and I tell this a lot, but that was the big turning point for me in 2007 when I joined my first group, and it was, I think it was like $400 a month, and it is at a time in my business when cash flow actually wouldn't support that, but yeah. I wanted it so bad. I believed in the power of masterminding and the ability to learn from others and to accelerate your growth that I just cut out another credit card, and sure enough, that was a year that I really started taking off, and I've always believed in investing, you know, in your future growth and profitability and stuff like that, so.
I agree.
Gina, I know you're working with a great friend of mine and yours, Amy Porterfield. We were in a mastermind group like two summers ago. Yeah, the Rockstar Mastermind, we called it. So how are you doing work for Amy, and like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's just funny because it's sort of come out of, I don't want to say left field, but I think people come into your life for a reason. And Amy and I, we live in the, you know, local community together. And she was always one of my friends that I would talk business with. You know, us moms, we have our mom friends we talk about the kids with. Well, when I would get together with Amy, we'd talk biz. I could talk to her about Infusionsoft or whatever launch she might have going on. And last year, just out of a conversation, she said, you know, I could really use some support with, you know, some marketing ideas, helping me with my launches. And we agreed for me to be on her team and support her through the end of the year. So from February of last year through December, my title was project manager, but I ended up really helping her mostly with her launches. And it was a great experience for me to be able to be behind the scenes of someone who was much further along in her business and help her with her launches. And now for this year in 2014, I've just come on at 6-week time periods to help her during her launches, but I'm not on her team for every month as a project manager like I was last year. But I learned a lot, and I just adore her, and it's fun for me to look back and see, okay, she's where I was at how many years ago, and now I can think, all right, in a couple of years I can get to where she's at. But she's got a much bigger demographic too than I do as well. Facebook marketing obviously is wider niche than Pilates biz. But yeah, so that's how I've been supporting her. It's been a great adventure.
That is so cool. Now, so if this puts you on the spot, don't feel like you have to answer, but are you working with anybody else in that field, or is that something you're doing, supporting other
entrepreneurs? I'm not. Yeah, that's interesting. No, I don't mind you asking me that at all. People have started to come forward and ask, and I think it's something for me to consider. Part of the magic that happened is because I knew Amy previously, and there's just a vulnerability that occurs when you, like, open up your business to someone else. And she felt comfortable with that, and we had a lot of fun working on her business together. And I think that was also the part that I enjoyed, because I knew her, I cared about her, I do care about her. Or I'm not sure that it would appeal to me as much or be as fulfilling for me if it was someone maybe that I didn't know. I don't know why that is, but so a couple people have reached out and said, hey, I hear you're a project manager. Let's talk. And, you know, I don't know. But it's something for me to think about. I never like to leave something on the table if there's an opportunity there. So I'm not actively seeking that, no, but it has started to happen as Amy's talked about my role. She had a big year last year, so
I think I smell opportunity there. We can talk offline about that. So, Gina, I mentioned – you're welcome. I mentioned earlier, so people, how can they connect with you? Is you got a website? Is Facebook best? Or?
Yeah, either one. I mean, if someone's in the Pilates arena or knows someone, of course, thepilatesbiz.com, that's my main hub. There's a lot of free resources there for any instructor or studio owner. And then I am, fairly active on Facebook. I have to limit myself, but I'm there personally, Gina Axelson, and then I have a Facebook page for the Pilates Biz. But, yeah, I love it when people reach out. It's great for me to connect, and I go to a lot of live events as well. So I would love that. Thank you.
Oh, very good. This is, well, as usual, these interviews go very quickly, and I've just really enjoyed catching up with you, and I think everybody that's listening is probably having a good time hearing two entrepreneurs chit-chat. Well, we dropped a few nuggets in there, I think, in our conversation, too.
Yeah, no, it's great. I could talk to you for a long time, Jim, but I know we gotta wrap it up.
Yeah, well, thanks again for being my special guest this week, Gina.
Oh, are you kidding? Thank you. It's my pleasure, my honor, and I really am serious. We need to talk about your upcoming event. I'm excited about that.
Okay. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the very super talented and obviously you now know awesomely nice, is that a good word? Awesomely nice, Gina Axelson. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.